Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Acts 17, verse 31, the final judgment. In the first part of this message, Dr. Beakey spoke of God's right to exercise judgment. He also spoke of Christ's exercise of judgment as the mediatorial king, speaking especially of his coming again. Now, Dr. Beakey will again take up that second point on Christ's coming, and then thirdly, he will also speak of our assurance that Judgment Day will most certainly take place. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear.
And he'll come suddenly, the Bible says, unexpectedly, with the sound of the last trump. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trump, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And then we're told the dead shall rise, and the earth and sea shall give up the dead that are in them. There'll be a great movement over all the earth. Bodies from graves will stand erect. Bodies that have been perished in the sea. Bodies that have been martyred and eaten by wild animals and cremated and never found by loved ones. All kinds of bodies will come together and be raised from the dead. The godly and the ungodly. And the souls of all those already dead shall re-enter their bodies again and be reunited, never to be separated again. John says in Revelation, for the wicked, death and hell shall deliver up the dead that were in them. And for the righteous, their souls shall descend from heaven together with Christ and the angels. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. Their bodies shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and fashioned like unto the glorious body of Jesus. And the redeemed, among the redeemed, there shall be no lame persons like Mephibosheth. He will receive a whole body. There shall be no special needs person with infirmities or handicaps. They shall all, in the twinkling of an eye, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And we shall have perfect bodies and perfect souls to serve a perfect God in a perfect heaven forever. If we're believers, true believers. And then we will all stand before the judge. As death leaves us, so the judgment day will find us. Where the tree falls, there it shall lie, the Bible says, be it to the north or be it to the south. The unconverted will gather on the left hand of Christ, and they will cry to the mountains to fall on them and to hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And believers will be on the right side, gathered like sheep by their shepherd. And their joy will, as it were, give them wings to carry their souls into their bodies. They will, with ecstasies and raptures of delight, says Jonathan Edwards, meet their friend and Savior, come into his presence, and stand at his right hand. And then the judgment shall happen. The strong in faith shall be judged. The weak in faith shall be judged. The strong and weak in the world shall be judged. The converted and unconverted shall be judged. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Every eye shall be opened. And everyone shall be judged according to the measure of light that has been afforded them and the measure of privilege given to them. We shall have to render an account of every privilege it was granted to us, said J.C. Ryle, and every ray of light that we have enjoyed. And then at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in that vast multitude of billions and billions and billions of people. And every tongue shall confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a day. What a moment. No one too wealthy to be above judgment. No one too poor to escape judgment. The omniscient Christ cannot be deceived. The just Christ cannot be avoided. It's an inevitable judgment. And in that judgment, the Bible speaks of it like books. There are no physical books in heaven, of course, but it's like books going open. And for the unsaved, we read of four books. The book of remembrance. The book of remembrance, number one. All our sins, our secret sins, are printed, as it were, in heaven's book. And Christ will read them aloud before the whole world. But we dared not to tell others. What we dared to minimize and make light of and forget in this life will be remembered and exposed. All our pride, all our unbelief, all our hatred, all our sins of commission, all our sins of omission. It will all be public. Public. And secondly, we read of the book of Providence. All God's goodness will, that should have led us to repentance. For the ungodly, it will condemn them because it will all have led only to hardness. And then for those who've been exposed to Scripture, that book will go open. Both the law and the gospel. For as many as have sinned without the law shall perish without the law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law, the Bible says. And Paul says of the book of the gospel that will go open, in that day God shall judge the secrets of many by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And the book of conscience will go open, which will be worse than 1,000 witnesses, and upon 1,000 questions, we will have no answer. But for God's people, different books will go open. Or the same books, but they will be covered with the blood of the Lamb. The book of remembrance will go open. Will God's people's sins be remembered on that day? Some old divines argue yes. Some argue no. The simple answer is, if they are mentioned at all, it will only be to magnify the power of the grace of God in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that all glory will be given to God. And the book of the life and the Lamb will go open, and their names will be written in that book. Ephesians 1 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And no book will condemn them. The book of the law? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The book of the gospel? The book of conscience? There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Dear believer, every page of every book that would ordinarily condemn you because you are a sinner, and you're a sinner still, will be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus, and written across that page will be paid in full. And you will escape completely the wrath of the Lamb, because you will be taken up in that blood, washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. And so the judgment will be public. And yet every man will take his turn, every woman, every boy, every girl, take his turn, her turn, to stand alone before the judge. Everyone will be judged in soul and body. We will be judged by what we've done with the eyes God has given us, with the ears he's given us, with our hands, with our feet, with our soul. No one will escape it. No one will escape it. Paul says here in our text, it will be a righteous judgment. God will judge in righteousness. And he will judge also according to our works. And that doesn't deny that we get into heaven by free grace. Because when we are justified in Christ, we will be sanctified in Christ, and our works will reveal that we have been born again. The fruit will be there. 5 times the New Testament says that we will be judged by our works. Not because our works are meritorious, but because our works reflect the saving work of the everlasting judge. And as Christ engages in this judgment, it will have 6 characteristics, at least, probably many more. 1, it will be a perfect and minute judgment. Perfect and minute. Every detail will be known. Let every man prove his own work. Galatians 6, verse 4. 2, it will be a searching, pondering judgment. I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins. In Proverbs, we read 3 times that God ponders the ways of men. God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And 3rd, it will be an impartial judgment. No one in hell will be able to say, Lord, thy judgment was not fair. No one in hell will say, I don't deserve to be here. And no one in heaven will say, I deserve to be here. It's all because of the blood of the Lamb. It's all because of the work of this great judge. And 4, it's a near judgment. A near judgment. The judge stands at the door sooner than we think. You've got to be prepared now. Mary Carlson this week took a sudden turn for the worse. What if she had not been prepared? The family would be in total misery right now. Are you prepared now? If it were to happen to you this week, suddenly, you're at death's door. 5, it will be a final judgment. No change, no reversal, no parole, no intermission. And 6, it will be an executed judgment. These shall all go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. What a glorious day that shall be. Happy day for the believer to enter into heaven, to enter into perfect salvation, salvation from Satan, from the world, from my old nature, from all sin, from all tears and pain and sorrow and night and death and dying and temptation to be tempted and curse, all done away. And then to enter into perfect activities of praise and glory and worship and service of God and exercise of authority and eternal communion with the saints and angels, and above all, supreme joy in supreme communion with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy, enjoy knowing Him and seeing Him, gazing upon Him, loving Him and praising Him. And that all in perfect surroundings, a perfect heaven, a perfect world of love with perfect mansions, centered in a perfect God with perfect light and perfect feasting and perfect holiness. What a day it shall be to be with Christ forever. You know, Martin Luther said this, I would not give one moment of heaven for all the joy and riches of the world, even if it lasted for thousands and thousands of years. Do you mean that, Martin Luther? For 1 second in heaven, you'd have more joy than you get if you live for thousands and thousands of years on earth? Yes. Yes. Heaven is a perfect world of love with Christ at the center. And that will be everything. Well, the ungodly, it will be just the opposite. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, says this same Paul, we persuade men. My friend, as death leaves you, judgment will find you. And as judgment finds you, eternity will open up its arms to hold you and never release you. There's no exit from hell. Every building on this earth to get up to code just about, especially in our country, has exit signs. I'm looking at an exit sign right now. But there's no exit signs in hell. There's no way out of hell. All good is walled into heaven, but all evil is walled into hell. There's no way of escape. No rocks or mountains to fall on and be destroyed. Hell is essentially dying, ever dying, but never dead. Ever to be without the favor of God, to be utterly alone with no friendship, no communion with anyone. Forsaken of God, forsaken of men, even forsaken by the devils. There'll be no personal relationships in hell. Just as heaven of heavens is communion with God, so the hell of hell is to be forsaken of God. And oh, how tragic in that day if we tried to enter into heaven by any other way than the blood of Jesus. We will hear from the judge, bind this sinner hand and foot and take him away and cast him into utter darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. The greater Joseph, the lion out of the tribe of Judah, shall cast with holy indignation the unsaved who have not repented, who have not believed in Christ alone for salvation, who have not surrendered to his gospel terms, into the bottomless pit. One of the old Puritans said, Nebuchadnezzar's burning fiery furnace would be regarded as ice in the bottom of hell. Terrible, terrible it shall be to fall into the hands of a living God unprepared. And the hell of hell will be for those who've rejected all their lifetime the gospel offered to them. Jesus says the remembrance of that will be like a never-dying worm in their conscience, gnawing, gnawing, gnawing away in pain and agony in hell. You don't want to go there. And there's one way of escape. That's through him who's been raised from the dead, who will be the judge of heaven, who suffered and died, and invites every single sinner who hears the gospel to come unto me and to repent and believe in Christ alone by the grace of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I will turn no one away, ever. And so on the great day, if you get turned away, it's because you will have spurned the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do we know this is all true? How can we be sure of it? Paul concludes, whereof he has given assurance of this unto all men, in that he has raised Jesus from the dead. Resurrection is our assurance that the judgment day will happen. The resurrection of Jesus turned everything around for his disciples, for the validation of Christianity, and it gives to the people of God assurance about many, many, well, all, actually, aspects of the Christian life. Luke 18:33 teaches us that it gives us assurance about his person and his mission. Romans 4:25 teaches us that it gives us assurance that he's made satisfaction for sin. And it's an assurance of our justification. Romans 8, 33, 34 says that resurrection gives us assurance that nothing shall be laid against the charge of God's elect. But Acts 17, 31, our text tonight, gives us assurance, Paul says, that Christ will judge the world. And that judgment will be true, it will be righteous, and it will be sure. Now, what does that do for you, dear believer? Well, it does a lot for you. It assures you, first of all, of your own resurrection. Your soul will be reunited one day with your body. And you will declare the Son of God to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. Because He was resurrected from the dead to raise you from the dead, to be with Him forever. And so just as Jesus was persecuted and abused, but now greatly rewarded, so you will be delivered from all evil and will be greatly rewarded with the reward of grace in everlasting marriage with the perfect bridegroom in glory. Secondly, it's your assurance that all things will be set right one day. All things will be set right one day. God's day of reckoning will glorify His justice and righteousness, and all that is crooked will be set straight. You know, this afternoon, when we just came home, I checked my messages to see if there was anything on my answering machine. And there was a brother who called me. He said he was wrestling all afternoon with this text from Psalm 103. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. I haven't had a chance to call him back yet. But what he said in the phone was this: so many are oppressed. What about the babies that are killed? What about people that are abused? What about nations that are poor? How can the Lord execute righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed? Well, I'm going to call him tomorrow. I'm going to tell him, here's the answer. Here's the answer. God makes everything right in the end. Though Satan will be your accuser lifelong, Christ will be your advocate. And He will straighten out all that was crooked in the great day. He will prove all your discouraging fears to be false. All those Asaph-like fears that the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer will be turned around. And God will show that the rich man in hell will be tormented, but Lazarus will be exalted. What a change! The just God reigns in heaven. The ungodly shall be tormented. The godly shall be vindicated. Everything shall be made right. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Don't you do that here in this life. You have the assurance because this man was risen from the dead, says Paul. You know, Asaph was troubled about this deeply in Psalm 73 until he says, I came into the sanctuary of God and I saw the end of the wicked. Then it all turned around, and he said, it is good for me to draw nigh to God. God will make all things right. God will make all things well. Thomas Watson put it this way: John the Baptist's head in a charger is a common dish nowadays. It is ordinary to bring in a saint beheaded of his good name, but at the day of judgment, Christ will unload his people from all their injuries. He will vindicate them through his resurrection power. Dear child of God, in the resurrection of Jesus, you have your guarantee that one day in the final judgment, all your trials will be over. There will surely be an end, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. God will make it all right and fair and true and good through His ultimate judge the Lord Jesus. But to you who are unsaved, Christ is also your assurance that you will be raised from the dead, that it will be impossible not to meet him, that you cannot escape from him forever. The same Christ who arose from the dead will raise you from the dead. And he's telling you one more time while you're alive, he doesn't ask you to repent. He doesn't invite you to repent only. But Paul says, verse 30, he commands you to repent. The times of ignorance God winked at. You're not ignorant. You've heard the gospel, many of you, all your life. But he now commandeth all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed this day of judgment. And you know that this day is coming because Jesus is raised from the dead. J.C. Ryle said the saddest road to hell is that which runs under the pulpit, past an open Bible, and through the midst of warnings and invitations. Soon it will be too late. Soon it will be too late to repent. Too late to believe the gospel. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Revelation 22. You know, hell is a place that will house no unbelievers. Just believers who believe too late. Because every knee shall bow. Every lip, every tongue shall confess, he is Lord. But across the gates of hell will be written these two words, too late.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, or to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God." May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live.